When Michael Porter's competitive strategy hit bookshelves in 1980, few could have predicted its seismic impact on business thinking. 4 decades later, this groundbreaking work remains required reading at every major business school worldwide. What makes this book so enduring? While countless business bestsellers have faded into obscurity, Porter's framework continues to shape how executives, consultants, and entrepreneurs approach competition. Even Elon Musk reportedly keeps a well-worn copy on his nightstand. The book's genius lies in transforming the chaotic battlefield of business competition into a structured, analytical framework that anyone can master, offering both defensive shields and offensive weapons for the strategic chess match of business. At the heart of Porter's framework lies a revolutionary insight. The state of competition in any industry depends not just on current competitors, but on 5 fundamental competitive forces. Like gravity in physics, these forces operate whether you acknowledge them or not, collectively determining an industry's profit potential measured by long-run return on invested capital. The first force, threat of new entrants, erodes profitability through price ceilings, cost inflation, and investment requirements to compete. Entry barriers protect incumbents like castle walls, taking various forms. Economies of scale force newcomers to either enter large scale, risking retaliation, or accept cost disadvantages. Product differentiation compels expensive image building to overcome established loyalty. Capital requirements create financial hurdles. Switching costs lock in customers. Access to distribution channels may be limited. And cost advantages independent of scale, proprietary technology, favorable locations, government subsidies, provide incumbents with unassailable positions. Consider how Southwest Airlines faced these barriers when entering the airline industry. They couldn't match major carriers' economies of scale, so they created a different business model targeting price-sensitive customers ignored by incumbents. They turned a weakness into strength. The second force, intensity of rivalry, manifests as price competition, advertising battles, product introductions, and service improvements. This rivalry intensifies when competitors are numerous or equally balanced, industry growth is slow, fixed costs are high, products lack differentiation, capacity expansion occurs in large increments, or exit barriers are high. The semiconductor industry exemplifies this dynamic. When demand slows, firms slash prices rather than reduce output because their high fixed costs make any production preferable to idleness. Pressure from substitutes, the third force, places a ceiling on prices industries can charge profitably. When fiberglass insulation manufacturers raise prices, they must consider alternatives like cellulose or styrofoam. The most threatening substitutes are those improving their price-performance trade-off against the industry's product or produced by high-profit industries. Security guard companies have responded to electronic alarm systems not by fighting them, but by offering integrated packages combining guards with electronic surveillance. The fourth and fifth forces, bargaining power of buyers and suppliers, complete the framework. Powerful buyers force down prices, demand higher quality, and play competitors against each other. They gain leverage when they purchase large volumes relative to seller sales, products represent significant costs, products are standard or undifferentiated, switching costs are low, or they pose credible backward integration threats. Similarly, powerful suppliers can squeeze industry profitability by raising prices or reducing quality, especially when the supplier group is more concentrated than the industry it sells to. What makes Porter's framework so powerful is its versatility. Whether you're a startup founder evaluating market entry, an investor considering acquisition targets, or an executive formulating strategy, the 5 forces provide a systematic way to assess competitive intensity and profit potential. Having mapped the competitive landscape, Porter introduces 3 generic strategies that can create a defensible position against the 5 competitive forces: overall cost leadership, differentiation, and focus. Cost leadership requires aggressive pursuit of efficiency through tight cost controls, avoidance of marginal customers, and minimization of expenses in areas like R&D, service, and advertising. This position shields the firm against all five competitive forces. Competitors can't undercut prices further, powerful buyers can only drive prices to the next competitor's level, and the firm has flexibility to handle supplier cost increases. Walmart exemplifies this strategy, relentlessly driving down costs through superior logistics, enormous purchasing power, and operational efficiency. Their everyday low pricing isn't just a marketing slogan, it's the manifestation of a coherent strategic position that aligns every organizational decision from store location to inventory management. Differentiation involves creating something perceived as unique industry-wide, whether through design, brand image, technology, features, or customer service. This strategy provides insulation against competitive rivalry through brand loyalty, resulting in lower price sensitivity and higher margins. Apple's premium positioning illustrates this approach. Customers willingly pay more for products they perceive as uniquely designed and integrated. The focus strategy targets a specific buyer group, product segment, or geographic market. The focuser serves its narrow target more effectively or efficiently than competitors pursuing broader markets. Martin Brower achieved low-cost position by serving only 8 leading fast food chains with tailored logistics, while Porter Paint focused on professional painters with specialized services. Porter warns against being stuck in the middle, attempting multiple strategies but achieving none. These firms suffer from blurred corporate culture and conflicting organizational arrangements. Clark Equipment exemplifies this predicament in the lift truck industry, lacking both the cost leadership of Japanese competitors Toyota and Komatsu and the technological differentiation of Hister, resulting in significantly lower returns and eroding market position. The choice among these strategies isn't arbitrary. It depends on the firm's capabilities and limitations. Each strategy requires different resources, strengths, organizational arrangements, and leadership styles. Companies stuck in the middle often flip between strategies, almost always failing due to the inconsistencies involved. Sun Tzu wrote that, "If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles." Porter applies this wisdom to business competition through sophisticated competitor analysis that goes beyond superficial understanding of rivals' current strategies and capabilities. A comprehensive competitor analysis examines 4 diagnostic components: future goals, current strategy, assumptions about the market and itself, and capabilities. While most companies develop some understanding of competitors' current strategies and capabilities, they pay less attention to what drives competitor behavior, goals, and assumptions. Understanding a competitor's goals reveals whether they're satisfied with current results and how they'll likely respond to external events or competitors' moves. A competitor prioritizing market share will respond differently to threats than one focused primarily on return on investment. Goals must be assessed at multiple management levels, from corporate-wide objectives down to functional area targets. Analyzing competitors' assumptions about themselves and the industry often reveals blind spots that create strategic opportunities. Miller Brewery's resurgence under Philip Morris exemplifies this advantage. Unbound by brewing industry conventions, Miller introduced light beer, 7-ounce bottles, and premium-priced domestic Löwenbräu, moves initially dismissed by competitors who later scrambled to follow as Miller gained substantial market share. Competitor capabilities assessment examines strengths and weaknesses across key business areas. Beyond basic evaluation, special attention goes to core capabilities, what competitors do best and worst, ability to grow, quick response capability, and adaptability to changing conditions. This framework helps predict how competitors will likely behave. Their offensive moves, satisfaction with current position, probable changes, and defensive capabilities, vulnerability to specific moves, areas that provoke disproportionate response. The ideal strategy finds a battleground where competitors are ill-prepared or uncomfortable competing. In the competitive marketplace, companies constantly send and receive signals through their actions and communications. These signals operate as a complex language of business strategy, manifesting through pricing decisions, expansion announcements, public statements, and market positioning. While some signals function as truthful indicators of intentions, others serve as sophisticated bluffs designed to mislead rivals or shape market perceptions. Prior announcements about planned actions serve multiple signaling functions that extend beyond mere communication. Companies use these announcements strategically to preempt competitors, threaten responses that deter aggressive moves, test market sentiment, communicate satisfaction or displeasure with industry developments, or coordinate capacity additions across the sector. Texas Instruments memory pricing announcements in the 1980s provide a classic example where the company effectively drove competitors from the market by signaling aggressive price intentions before implementation. Similarly, Intel's consistent announcements about manufacturing investments have historically served to discourage potential market entrants. When competitors publicly discuss industry conditions, their communications often contain layers of meaning. These statements frequently include implicit pleas for price discipline or orderly capacity additions, sometimes containing veiled promises to cooperate if others act properly. For instance, airline executives' public comments about rational capacity growth often signal their desire for industry-wide restraint in adding new routes. The manner in which strategic changes are implemented carries significant meaning. Targeting peripheral markets versus competitors' key customers, or timing moves at unusual periods, clearly differentiates between competitive aggression and industry-minded moves. Cross parries represent a sophisticated form of strategic signaling where one firm initiates a move in one area and a competitor responds in a different area entirely. Rather than directly countering the initial move, the defending firm signals displeasure indirectly while avoiding destructive escalation that could harm both parties. The severity of the signal depends on whether the cross parry targets the initiator's core market, serious warning, or minor market, milder warning. For example, when a competitor enters a firm's key geographic market, the firm might respond by launching new products in the competitor's home market rather than engaging in direct price warfare. By studying the historical relationship between a competitor's announcements and subsequent actions, firms can uncover unconscious signals unique to each competitor. This pattern recognition significantly improves their ability to predict rivals' behavior. Companies often develop distinctive tells, consistent patterns in how they signal their intentions. Some firms consistently telegraph major moves through subtle changes in their supplier relationships, while others might reveal their plans through patterns in executive speeches or timing of trade show announcements. Understanding these nuanced signals requires maintaining detailed competitive intelligence databases and developing institutional memory about competitor behavior patterns. Cross parries represent a sophisticated form of strategic signaling where one firm initiates a move in one area and a competitor responds in a different area entirely. Rather than directly countering the initial move, the defending firm signals displeasure indirectly while avoiding destructive escalation that could harm both parties. The severity of the signal depends on whether the cross parry targets the initiator's core market, serious warning, or minor market, milder warning. For example, when a competitor enters a firm's key geographic market, the firm might respond by launching new products in the competitor's home market rather than engaging in direct price warfare. By studying the historical relationship between a competitor's announcements and subsequent actions, firms can uncover unconscious signals unique to each competitor. This pattern recognition significantly improves their ability to predict rivals' behavior. Companies often develop distinctive tells, consistent patterns in how they signal their intentions. Some firms consistently telegraph major moves through subtle changes in their supplier relationships, while others might reveal their plans through patterns in executive speeches or timing of trade show announcements. Understanding these nuanced signals requires maintaining detailed competitive intelligence databases and developing institutional memory about competitor behavior patterns. The art of reading market signals extends to understanding cultural and regional differences in communication styles. Japanese companies, for instance, often signal strategic shifts through subtle changes in kairetsu relationships, while European firms might telegraph intentions through labor union negotiations. These cultural variations in signaling behavior add another layer of complexity to competitive intelligence efforts. In oligopolistic industries, firms experience mutual dependence, where competitive outcomes depend significantly on rivals' reactions. This creates a fundamental dilemma: pursue the collective industry interest, avoiding competitive warfare, or act in narrow self-interest, risking retaliation and escalation. This dynamic mirrors the classic prisoner's dilemma, where individual rational choices can lead to collectively suboptimal outcomes. For example, in the airline industry, when one carrier introduces deep discounts, others often feel compelled to match, leading to industry-wide profit erosion despite no gain in market share. The ideal competitive move produces a quick, favorable outcome without triggering destructive warfare. Non-threatening moves improve a firm's position without unduly threatening competitors' goals. Timex exemplified this approach by entering the watch industry with inexpensive, disposable watches sold through drugstores, a strategy so different from Swiss manufacturers' premium jewelry store approach that it wasn't initially perceived as competition. Similarly, Southwest Airlines' initial focus on short-haul routes and secondary airports allowed it to grow substantially while minimizing direct confrontation with major carriers. Enterprise Rent-A-Car's focus on insurance replacement vehicles rather than airport locations represents another successful example of non-threatening market entry. When moves significantly threaten competitors, understanding retaliation becomes crucial. Retaliation lags stem from several factors. Perceptual delays, when competitors fail to notice moves or recognize their significance. Organizational inertia, time needed to mount responses. Inability to precisely target retaliation, and conflicting goals within competitor organizations. The Timex case exemplifies this. Swiss watchmakers delayed retaliation because directly competing would undermine their jewelry store channels and premium image. Similarly, traditional taxi companies' slow response to Uber stemmed from regulatory constraints and organizational rigidity. Commitment is the cornerstone of both offensive and defensive competitive strategy. It involves unequivocally communicating the firm's resources and intentions to reduce uncertainty and influence competitor calculations. Credible commitment requires four key elements: visible assets and resources to quickly execute the commitment, such as Amazon's massive investment in fulfillment centers; clear intention, including a history of honoring past commitments, like Intel's consistent investment in new chip fabrication; inability or moral resolve not to back down, exemplified by Apple's unwavering commitment to privacy; and ability to detect compliance. Companies can signal commitment through public announcements, irreversible investments, or strategic partnerships. Successful competitive moves often involve careful timing and sequencing. For instance, Netflix's gradual transition from DVD rental to streaming demonstrated how companies can execute significant strategic shifts while managing competitive responses. The key is to maintain strategic flexibility while building credible commitments that shape competitor behavior. Companies must also consider the broader ecosystem, including suppliers, customers, and complementors. Industries evolve through predictable patterns that fundamentally alter competitive dynamics. While the product lifecycle concept, introduction, growth, maturity, decline, provides a starting point, Porter emphasizes understanding the underlying forces driving evolution rather than relying on simplistic patterns. These evolutionary forces operate across multiple dimensions simultaneously, creating complex competitive landscapes that require careful strategic navigation. Several key evolutionary processes reshape industries. Long-run growth changes affect competitive intensity, with slower growth typically intensifying rivalry as firms fight for market share. Buyer segments shift as industries mature, often fragmenting into distinct niches with different needs and price sensitivities. Learning by buyers transforms differentiated products into commodities as customers become more sophisticated in evaluating offerings and demanding standardization. This process is particularly evident in technology markets, where initial innovation premiums eventually give way to price-based competition. Uncertainty reduction leads to strategy convergence as successful approaches become apparent and widely adopted. Proprietary knowledge inevitably diffuses through employee movement, reverse engineering, and public documentation. Experience accumulates industry-wide, lowering costs and raising quality standards for all players. Scale expansion enables new strategic options, particularly in capital-intensive industries where larger operations can achieve significant cost advantages. Input costs and exchange rates fluctuate, creating shifting advantages between different geographic locations and production methods. Innovations in products, marketing, and processes continuously transform competitive requirements, forcing companies to adapt or risk obsolescence. The evolution of the optical character reader industry illustrates these dynamics vividly. The industry transformed from producing custom-made large scanners for specialized applications to mass-produced retail wands for widespread consumer use. This shift dramatically changed manufacturing methods, requiring automated production lines instead of craft-based assembly. Economics of scale became crucial, forcing smaller players to either grow or exit. Marketing approaches evolved from technical sales to broad consumer advertising and retail distribution networks. Similar patterns emerged in barcode scanners and other data capture technologies. The aerosol packaging industry provides another instructive example. As consumer product companies learned about aerosol technology, they moved from viewing it as a specialty packaging option to a mainstream delivery system. Many developed their own proprietary applications and formulations. Some major brands eventually integrated backward into production, transforming contract fillers from specialized partners into commodity suppliers competing primarily on price, with predictably squeezed margins. Industry consolidation, while common, isn't inevitable. It depends on the complex interplay between mobility barriers, exit barriers, and rivalry intensity. When mobility barriers are high or rising, concentration almost always increases, as demonstrated in the U.S. wine industry. Here, escalating requirements for advertising spending, sophisticated distribution networks, and continuous brand innovation have increasingly advantaged larger firms. However, in industries with low mobility barriers, exiting firms are quickly replaced by new entrants, maintaining fragmentation. High exit barriers, such as specialized assets or regulatory requirements, can prevent consolidation by keeping underperforming firms in the market despite poor returns, creating persistent overcapacity and chronic profitability challenges. Porter extends his framework to address unique strategic challenges in specific industry contexts: fragmented industries, emerging industries, maturing industries, declining industries, and global competition. In fragmented industries, where no firm has significant market share, successful strategies include tightly managed decentralization, standardized formula facilities, increased value added, specialization by product type or customer segment, and maintaining low overhead. Ethan Allen succeeded in the fragmented furniture industry by specializing in early American furniture with integrated room designs, commanding 20% price premiums despite only 3% market share. Emerging industries present both opportunity and uncertainty. The absence of established rules creates maximum strategic freedom to shape the industry's future structure. Early markets typically embrace products offering performance benefits first, while cost advantages face skepticism amid uncertainty and erratic performance. The timing of entry represents a critical strategic choice. Early entry offers potentially lower barriers and higher returns when firm reputation matters to buyers, learning curves are significant, customer loyalty is strong, or absolute cost advantages can be secured through early commitments. Industry maturity forces companies to confront fundamental strategic choices that growth may have obscured. The need to choose among the three generic strategies becomes acute, often a matter of survival. Cost analysis grows increasingly important for rationalizing product lines and pricing correctly. Process innovations become more valuable, and increasing purchases from existing customers becomes more desirable than seeking new customers. In declining industries, success strategies vary widely, from leadership, becoming the last profitable player standing, to niche, focusing on segments with stable demand, harvest, optimizing cash flow while reducing investment, or quick divestment, selling early to maximize recovery. The nature of competition during decline depends on structural factors determining how easily capacity will leave the industry and how fiercely remaining firms will compete. Global industries require coordinated worldwide competition to avoid strategic disadvantages. Global competitive advantages emerge from multiple sources: comparative advantage, factor cost or quality advantages in specific countries, economies of scale that exceed national market sizes, global experience effects that accelerate learning curves, and significant economies in logistics, marketing, and purchasing across diverse markets. For example, the semiconductor industry leverages comparative advantages by locating manufacturing in Taiwan and South Korea while maintaining R&D centers in Silicon Valley and design facilities in India. However, numerous impediments can block industries from becoming truly global. Transportation costs remain significant for bulky or perishable products, while differing product needs across markets necessitate local adaptations, as seen in the automotive industry, where safety standards, driving conditions, and consumer preferences vary dramatically between regions. Distribution channel access presents unique challenges in each market, from dealing with established local players to navigating complex wholesale networks. Institutional barriers such as tariffs, regulations, and local content requirements can significantly impact market entry and operations, exemplified by pharmaceutical companies facing different approval processes in each jurisdiction. Industries typically evolve toward global status through two primary mechanisms. Environmental triggers include decreased transportation costs, as seen in the containerization revolution, technological standardization, like the global adoption of GSM in mobile telecommunications, and rationalized distribution channels, exemplified by global e-commerce platforms. Strategic innovations drive globalization through product redesign for global acceptance, such as IKEA's modular furniture, modular design reducing adaptation costs, like automotive platforms shared across markets, and standardized marketing approaches, as demonstrated by luxury brands. Global industries present unique strategic challenges that require sophisticated responses. Companies must navigate complex relationships with host governments, often balancing local interests with global efficiency. This includes managing technology transfer demands, employment commitments, and local sourcing requirements. Systemic competition across markets requires firms to coordinate responses to competitive moves globally while maintaining local market sensitivity. Competitor analysis becomes more complex, requiring understanding of rivals' global resource positions, market-specific strengths, and cross-market subsidization capabilities. Firms must choose between several strategic postures: broadline global competition, like Samsung's presence across multiple product categories, global focus on specific segments, exemplified by Rolls-Royce in aircraft engines, national focus leveraging market differences, as seen in regional beer brands, or protected niches in countries with government restrictions, such as specialized industrial suppliers. Each approach requires different organizational capabilities and resource commitments, making the choice of global strategy a critical determinant of success. Porter's competitive strategy framework has stood the test of time because it provides a systematic approach to analyzing competition that transcends technological changes and market shifts. The fundamental forces shaping industry competition remain constant even as their specific manifestations evolve. Whether examining traditional manufacturing or modern digital platforms, the five forces – competitive rivalry, supplier power, buyer power, threat of new entrants, and threat of substitutes – continue to determine industry profitability and structure. What makes this framework so powerful is its versatility and depth. It serves as both a diagnostic tool for understanding competitive dynamics and a guide for strategic positioning. Consider how Amazon navigates these forces. They reduce supplier power through scale, increase buyer switching costs through Prime membership, and create entry barriers through their fulfillment infrastructure. By identifying the underlying economic and competitive forces at work, Porter enables strategists to look beyond surface-level industry characteristics to the fundamental drivers of long-term profitability. The framework's applicability extends across diverse contexts. In the pharmaceutical industry, patent protection influences the threat of new entrants, while in the airline industry, high fixed costs drive competitive rivalry. Technology companies like Apple demonstrate how the framework helps analyze ecosystem dynamics, where complementers and network effects modify traditional competitive forces. In today's rapidly changing business environment, the ability to systematically analyze competitive forces, select appropriate strategic positions, understand competitor behavior, interpret market signals, and anticipate industry evolution remains as valuable as ever. The framework has proven particularly useful in analyzing digital markets, where network effects and platform dynamics create unique competitive landscapes. Companies like Google and Facebook have used Porter's principles to build defensive moats through data advantages and network effects. Porter's framework doesn't provide simple answers. It offers something more valuable, the right questions to ask when navigating the complex strategic chess match of business competition. It helps leaders understand why certain industries maintain high profitability, like luxury goods, while others face persistent competitive pressure, like airlines. The framework's enduring relevance is evident in its continued use by consultants, strategists, and business schools to analyze emerging phenomena like digital transformation, platform economics, and sustainability-driven market shifts. Modern applications of the framework have expanded to incorporate contemporary factors like data network effects, multi-sided platforms, and ecosystem competition, demonstrating its adaptability to new business models and technological paradigms. This flexibility, combined with its focus on fundamental economic principles, ensures its continued relevance in strategic analysis and planning.